Time to cover the book of Revelation, and probably two times of doing that. And then we'll be on to something else after he's done. But tonight I want to read Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through verse number 13 in just a moment or two. So now that Christmas is over, are things starting to get back to normal in your household? If you really think about that, I thought, well, what really is normal? But the truth is that most of us, have some little downtime during the holidays, whether it's just a half a day here, an hour or two there. So a lot of times we get out of our normal routine. Certainly today I went to the store and nothing's returning back to normal there. I don't know if it was because of the snow coming or what. I just wanted a pound of hamburger for supper and I waited in line. Listen, this is how frustrating. Traffic was bad around the mall area, and I was at Food Lion, but don't tell Jonathan. I was at Food Lion to get my hamburger because it was right next, close to Chick-fil-A, because I get Food Lion has this particular thing that we like, and so I said, well, I'm going to go through, boy, a Chick-fil-A sandwich with pepper jack cheese, the spicy one with extra mayonnaise, and the chocolate milkshake. Man, my wallet's burning a hole in the pocket for me to get one. So I turn. I was on Hampton Center Parkway. I make the left at the light to go into Chick-fil-A. And I didn't even go a couple of feet and I'm stopping because people are waiting to turn left to go into the shopping center, and it's backed up. So I wait. I finally get around the corner. Wait. I followed all the way around, and to go to the drive-thru, you have to be in that left lane. So I'm in the left lane, and this lady's out here taking our orders. Good. The time I get all the way back around again, I'll get, my food will be done. I'll be ready. And so she takes this lady's order, and literally 3 minutes it took her to take this order. And I thought, I don't know what she's getting, but I'm glad there's nobody behind me, because there'll be no food left in this place. And so I pull up and stop. She's right at the entranceway. I pull up and stop, and she turns around and starts walking back to the building. Then she bends over. She's looking at this little machine. I waited, looked at her. She kept turning around. So I just drive around the corner. I come all the way around. There's another Chick-fil-A worker now on the side where you actually can order through the speaker, right? I'm at the in front of that. And this lady comes running around. Sir, you have to get out of line. I said, what? You have to get out of line. I said, what do you mean I have to get out of line? She said, I said, you didn't take my order, ma'am. She said, I know. If you would have been in the left-hand lane instead of the right-hand lane and cut in front of everybody, I would have took your order. I said, ma'am. I said, listen, I did not do anything wrong here. I said, I was behind that white blazer right in front of me that you took 3.5 minutes to get the order for. She says, no, you weren't. You have to get out of line. And I'm smoking, but I'm being real nice. I'm thinking, man, you don't deserve this track. I'm about ready to hand you. And I said, ma'am, I said, I can tell you this. I said, I was in that lane. And again, she said, if you were in that lane, I would have took your order. I said, ma'am, you bent over. You went over there or bent over. I don't know what you were doing. And she said, you're going to have to get in line. I said, okay, ma'am. I said, I want to give you this just because I tell you that I love you in Jesus Christ. And I said, I'm going to get out of line, and I'm going to go to McDonald's across the street. And when I come back, I'm going to see Red, because Red is the manager there. And he's good friends with James and Shannon. I got to know him. So I'm going to talk to him, because this is a little ridiculous. If you know me, I wouldn't tell you a lie, nor would I cheat. And she just, and I said, okay, fine. So, well, anyhow, I said all that to say this, that things aren't returning back to normal. And when I get to the title of my message, you understand why I gave you that illustration in just a few moments. So things are beginning to turn back to normal, but they're not quite there yet. Finances, perhaps, for some, are not quite back to normal again. Maybe you spent a little bit more than you wanted to, and you're going to wait till that statement comes in. You're going to bite the bullet and pay it off, even if you have to go to the savings account to pay it off. I don't know whatever you're doing, but I just know things are not quite normal yet. And I think that as we go back into this brand new year. I'm going to bring to you a message that's normally not brought before Christmas. And you'll see why in just a moment. But since it's after Christmas, I think it'll be appropriate and a good time for us to do this. And we know from our own personal experiences and your own personal experiences that things take place after Christmas, like putting the decorations away, cleaning up after the family, cleaning the house, paying the bills, doing things like that. But I want to ask you this question tonight. What about the spiritual aspect of after Christmas? What are some spiritual things after Christmas that we can need to do? And so I want to bring you this message, and this is why I gave the illustration about Chick-fil-A today. And I've entitled it this, The Spirit of the Antichrist. The Spirit of the Antichrist. Or in other words, watch out for Herod, and we'll talk about that. Let's read in Matthew 2, verses 1 through 13. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also. And then he heard, and they, excuse me, When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, to what came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And they opened up their treasures. They presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in the dream, they should not return to Herod. They departed in their own country another way. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt. And be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us and your love. We pray now, Father, as we would think about this thought of the spirit of the Antichrist, or watch out for Herod. Help us, Father, not to succumb to the Herod in our lives. So, Father, we pray that you'll be these people will be magnified and uplifted, Father, in the things of the Word today. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, according to this passage of the scripture and the story that you're well familiar with, not long after Jesus was born, King Herod tried to kill him. And Herod, I believe, definitely was controlled by the spirit of the Antichrist. Now, when we speak of the Antichrist, we think of, what do we usually think about? Or when we think about Antichrist, who are we normally referring to? Go ahead and answer. The end times, yes, all right. So the one doing Satan's bidding. Anybody else want to add to that? All right, great. That's exactly right. So we're usually referring to the one who's going to come in the future and oppose the Lord Jesus Christ after the rapture of the church, and then ultimately as well after the 1,000-year reign for the battle of Armageddon. And we usually refer to the one, the Antichrist. And when in 1 John 2, verse 18, the Bible says, Little children, in the last times, as ye have heard, the Antichrist shall come. And even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. And just as I believe King Herod was controlled by the spirit of the Antichrist, and probably he is the very first Antichrist, I'm sure that we are all aware of that there's an evil spirit that's working in the world today, especially after we had just got done with our series on Satan, on demon and demonology. But with Christmas put behind us, we must guard against this spirit spirit of Herod, because it will destroy the spirit of Christ in us. And when we come through a great season, thanksgiving to God for all that He's done for us, and we gave Him praise and honor and glory for that. And then we came into the season of Christmas where we celebrate the birth of Christ. And if we're not careful, that spirit of Christ that now resides in us would become the spirit of Herod. And so tonight I want to use the name Herod as an acrostic for you to help us identify this spirit of the Antichrist. The first one, if you're taking notes, it would be H-E-R-O-D. The first H of Herod stands for humanism. See, humanism is defined this way: an outlook or system of thought attaching prime importance to humans rather than the divine or supernatural matters. Someone said this about humanism, and I wrote it down in my notes for you. Humanist beliefs stress the potential value of the goodness of human beings. They emphasize common human need and seek solely rational ways of solving human problems. You see, when you think about theism and humanism, the focus on humanism is entirely upon man. It's upon mankind, it's upon humans, it's upon their needs, it's upon their problems, and they come up with some man-made solutions to the problem of man and mankind. A humanist will seek to do what's best for the human race, irregardless of the God Creator up in heaven. You see, when you think about a humanist, topically, it doesn't sound so bad, does it? You know, we love the earth, we love all the people, let's do all that we can to help everybody, let's come up with some man-made design to be a blessing to everybody in all the world. And that's not really a bad idea, except for the problem is this: humanism leaves God out of it, leaves God's will out of that plan. And God is left out, and spiritual needs are never met. People might eat, they might have water, they might have clothes, but humanly, we can look at them, we would say they are better off. But in the long run, they're just still a sinner, destined for hell, but now they have water, now they have clothes, and now they have a place to stay, but they're still dying and going to hell. Humanism. When we think about humanism, we think of this, that they have no room for consideration. They have no room for anything other than what man's thoughts are. What's man's answer to the problems of the world today? What's man's solution on how to accomplish these tasks? And they leave God completely out of it. When I think about just this past week, my wife and I had an opportunity to watch that movie again. Debbie, help me out. The one they send a text at the end, God's Not Dead. God's Not Dead 1. That old movie was on UPN. And by the way, if you do watch TV, UPN generally has a lot of Christian movies on it, or maybe not Christian per se, but good wholesome movies if you watch it. And that was on there. We got to watch that. And it just reminded me as I prepared for this that atheist professor was all about humanism. And now he could solve the world's problems by men getting together. But the problem is that's not what God wants. And if all we're doing is meeting needs to improve the human race, you know, that's not a bad thing, like Habitat for Humanity. That's a good thing. Disaster relief with the floods and the fires in California, tornadoes, that's good. Having shelter for the cold winter shelters for people here in Hampton and Newport News, that's not a bad thing. But if all we're doing is making our world better, all we're doing is making it a better place for them to go to hell from. And so we need to understand that humanism is not where it needs to be. If we're not careful, then we'll be enveloped by the world's humanistic philosophy. And that's why we're encouraged to have a worldview the way that God looks at our world. And sometimes we get to the point where our opinions and our thoughts and the opinions and thoughts of other people are more than God's opinions and God's thought. And when we get to be that way, whether you like to think about yourself or not, you're humanistic and you're embracing humanism. You see, it's not always about just doing things for other people. It's about doing things for other people and adding the gospel of Jesus Christ to it as well. If we're not careful, this year we'll fall into the spirit of Antichrist with humanism. Secondly, here's another one. If we're not careful, E, H-E for Herod, and that is entertainment. You understand that we live in an entertainment society, and there's so much entertainment that's available for us today, and it competes for our attention. And the truth of the matter is, most of us get sucked into this thing of entertainment, and I believe this is the spirit of the Antichrist. I believe it is the spirit of the Antichrist. And I'm certainly not saying that we shouldn't be entertained. And by that I mean, there's nothing wrong with watching television or listening to the radio or using the internet for your entertainment, as long as it's done in the right and proper manner. I'm not saying not to do that. I'm not saying that we should never avoid TV and avoid radio and avoid all that. What I'm simply saying is that sometimes our entertainment can literally consume so much of our time and so much of our energy that we forget that our lives are to be centered on the Lord Jesus Christ, and we center it around a TV or upon a radio or an internet broadcast or whatever, a book, a secular book, whatever it is. I have no idea. But you know what? If we're not careful, we'll find that we'll have this spirit of Herod in this area of entertainment. Just think about all the different kinds of entertainment that we have. Think about it in our homes. Let's list some very quickly. Just shout it out. Raise your hand quickly. Entertainment in your home. What is it? TV, number one. What else? Xbox. Pardon me? Xbox. Xbox, yes. What else? Radio. What?
Radio.
Radio, yes. What else?
Computers.
What?
Mind sewing.
Mind sewing, that's right. Listen, that's right. Hey, how about this? We don't even have to have computers anymore because we got our cell phones, which are literally almost mini computers, right? And so, in fact, my cell phone I have now has faster speed and more memory than my very first computer did, which was a 486-25. I paid $1,299 for it back in 91 at Sam's, and I thought I got a good deal. You know, listen, so things can do it. Maybe hobbies that you have. How about board games? You know, how about card games? Listen, you say, well, I don't do none of that. All I do is I just do crossword puzzles, or I do Sudoku, or I do word searches. Listen, it's the same thing. What are you doing? You're entertaining yourself. I'm not against entertaining. I like to be entertained. We all like to be entertained. But the truth is, if we're not careful, we'll find ourselves being succumbed to this idea of not only humanism, but also entertainment as well. So let's think about outside the home. What about entertainment outside the home? What do we have? Pardon me?
Hunting.
Yes, hunting. Yeah, that's a big one. Hunting, yes. What else? Movies, yes. Movie theaters. What else?
Sports,
that's right. Whether you play it or whether you watch it. How about, you know, maybe winter activities or summer activities? I don't know, whatever that might be, camping and picnicking in the winter, maybe skiing. There's some people that really like to ski, and the snow comes, it's all consuming to them. And there's a never-ending supply of entertainment for us. And we have to be careful because it's the spirit of the Antichrist. A few months ago, well, it might be about six months or so ago, a movie came out. It was called Concussion. I'm not going to ask you if you saw it. I didn't personally see it. I'm using this illustration from someone else. But the truth is, the movie was called Concussion. It was about the NFL and about how players would get concussions back in the old days. I mean, you get your bell rung and they say, get back in there. And they're stumbling all around. And as long as they can stand, they can still play. And now they're suffering from it. NFL has actually lawsuits have been taken against the NFL, and NFL has lost, and now they're paying out millions and millions of dollars to former players. And so now they have strict, stringent rules and regulations concerning what happens if you have concussion. And it's been a good thing because it has moved across all kinds of sports now. It moved from football to motorsports. You think of Dale Earnhardt Jr., the great race car driver that he was, had multiple concussions, and they made him sit out for almost a half a season until he could get things where he needed to be. Boxers and other things, hockey players, and so. But basically, in that movie, I want to give you a quote from that movie. It says this: The NFL owns a day of the week that the church used to own. Now think about that. And that's just a quote in a movie. But if you think about that, how true is that? That the NFL owns a day that the church used to own. What are you saying, Pastor Dave? I'm saying that's the spirit of the Antichrist. If we're not careful, we'll find that creeping into our life. And when entertainment is what we pursue, and entertainment is our ultimate goal, we have the spirit of the Antichrist, but it takes our focus off the Lord Jesus Christ. What I'm saying is simply this. I'm not against being entertained, but if all you do is binge watch Baywatch, listen, you got a problem, I'm telling you. You know, if you go on and, you know, do watch 400 shows or something, listen, you got a problem. You have the spirit of the Antichrist. And that's the goal of Satan. He wants you to be entertained to the point that's where your life comes from. And all life ought to come from the Word and Jesus Christ. Well, R, the spirit of the Antichrist. How about this? Religious rituals. You know, too many people today are caught up in religious rituals, and they think if they do something religious, they're going to be all right. Now, I know that you understand that's not the case. But you know what? I bet almost every one of your coworkers that are unchurched or unsaved would say, you know what, it's okay because I gave to the Red Cross when the fire happened in California. And, you know, I took care of my grandmother for 3 years before she passed on. So I know that I'm in with God. And when I get to heaven, God's going to weigh the good and the bad. And I believe I have enough good works that's going to get me to heaven. And if you go to church enough, if you get involved in enough services, if you take communion, some churches believe that, if you get baptized, or if you become a deacon or an elder in the church, get on a staff, if you light some candles, say some long prayers, or even some think if you lift up holy hands, so to speak, that you're going to be in and you're in good with God. Listen, there are a lot of things that people do that are good, and it's not going to get them to heaven, and I wish people would understand that. So good things are good, and we ought to do those, but our religious rituals are just something that we do just to appease man. And doesn't really appease God. You know, the devil would just as soon send someone to hell from the bar right across the street, angled over that way, just as much as he would from this pew right here. It doesn't matter to him. If they're in church and they die and go to hell, they're his. If they're in a bar and they die and go to hell, guess what? They're still his. It doesn't matter to him whether you're in a church. And so he'll say and do and allow you to think whatever you want to think as long as you think that you're okay and that Jesus Christ is not the way, the truth, and the life as the Bible and Christ himself said he was. You see, in verse number 4 of our text, we find that this is the spirit of the Antichrist, because notice what the Bible said. Herod surrounded himself. Notice with what? The chief priest and the scribes. Listen, he was thinking that he was more important than Jesus Christ himself. So he gathered all the chief priests. He gathered all the scribes together. Because really, he wanted them to say, this really, that this Christ child is nothing, and you're the king, and you're the one that we are going to stand behind. So religious rituals is just going through the motions without really having a relationship with God. Let me just pause here for a moment. Maybe you've been here before, and maybe you've been through some religious rituals, and you have trusted Christ as your Savior. You say, well, what do you mean? Well, it's kind of like this, that like Ed said, well, I don't really want to come on New Year's Eve, but I'm going to come. What is that? A religious ritual. Even though you're saved, and even though you trust in Christ as your Savior, it's become a religious ritual. You know, when it's time to come to choir practice at 4:15 and we come and our heart's not in it, guess what? That's a religious ritual. When it's time to go soul winning and the Holy Spirit speaks to your heart and you say, well, I'm going to go because I don't want Pastor James to think bad about me. So you show up. Guess what? That's a religious ritual, even though you were saved. So just don't think the religious rituals are just for the lost. They primarily are. But if you're not careful, you'll find your church attendance, your Bible reading, your prayer time, even your good works and the good deeds that we do that bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ are just religious rituals because our heart is not in them. Well, we got to move quickly. O stands for offenses, and that is offenses by other people. You know, people are going to offend you. You know, that lady at the thing, I really think that she really thought she was doing what's right. I'm a line jumper, and I'm jumping the line, and, you know, and I need to get away. And she thought she was doing right. I respected her for doing her job. And I didn't get angry. But Stan, people are going to offend you. I was offended because my character, I wouldn't do that. You know, and I surely wouldn't hand her a track and do it after I did that. You know, people will be rude to you. Guess what? They're going to be ugly to you. They're going to be nasty to you. I'm going to be that way to you sometimes. I wish I could say I don't mean it. Sometimes maybe I do mean it, but that's my fault, not your fault. But you know what? You're going to do the same thing, whether it's to me or to somebody else. And it's just our humanity, and we all have frail, we all sinful, wicked men, and we're going to be rude, we're going to be ugly, we're going to be nasty, and I think sometimes that we spend so much attention on what others have done to us that we forget about, and we neglect the one that can forgive them for what they've done, the one that can heal you. And we're so worried about, oh, somebody offended me, and oh, I'm not going back there. I'm not going to do that again. I'm offended by what they said, and they didn't shake my hand, and he came right by me, and we get so worked up about it, we forget about the one who could heal your heart and forgive them for what they did. So let's understand the spirit of the Antichrist with offenses. And lastly, when we're done, how about this? Our daily responsibilities. D, our daily responsibilities. You know, after Christmas, our daily responsibilities take priority again. You know, because of the Christmas season and the way that you know, our church schedules is, I don't have too many opportunities to preach on Sunday evenings. And so when we come in November, I'm praying about, okay, God, what would you have me to do after December? And after December, and he begins working on my heart, a series of messages or something along that way. But, you know, the day after Christmas, it was like, boom! Listen, you got to preach on Sunday night for the last 3 weeks you haven't preached, you know. Our daily responsibilities come back, you know. We have a couple of days off, boom, the budget's still there. The money still has to be counted. People, you know, the fish still got to be cleaned, Sarat, right? And not for you because you're retired, but there's still responsibilities that have to come for us. And so when we come back, whatever those responsibilities were before Christmas and before New Year's, guess what? They're going to be there Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday, Friday, all the way through the rest of the year. And our daily responsibilities, most of the things that we have are not inherently bad. It's not bad that we have work to go to. It's not bad that we have to shovel the snow or clean the house or cook the meal or wash the dishes, whatever your tasks are. But I think sometimes they become such a burden to our hearts, and they consume our time, and they consume our emotions, they consume all our thoughts, that we have nothing left to get back to God. Go back to those days at Christmas when it wasn't so all-consuming. Think about the time of devotions you had with the Lord, and think about those times. We get to a point where we don't have time to worship him. You know, I know particularly during the week between Christmas and New Year's, man, the devotion, my devotion time is just phenomenal. Not that it isn't, but it's just like there's no pressure, there's no stress, there's some time off, just me and the Lord, you know, and then come Tuesday, bam, everything, the world's back again, you know. And I kept thinking back, you know, if I'm not careful, I'm going to give too much time and too much emotion, too much thought to those daily responsibilities that I have. And I'm going to place more time to worship him, spend more time with him instead of allowing the spirit of the Antichrist to come. Well, just we'll close with this. What happens? What are we going to do when the spirit of Antichrist comes? What happens when Herod emerges in your life? There'll be two things we can do. Look at verses 12 and verse 13. We won't take time to read that again, but listen, there'll be a warning from God. There's a conviction that's going to come on your heart, an uneasiness to your heart as it was to Joseph that day. When the spirit of Antichrist comes, you have a conviction of uneasiness in your life. Then what are you going to do? A warning from God. And then we're going to take a step of obedience. And God told him to go to Egypt. He said, get out of the country, go to Egypt. And so when you begin to hit up against Herod over the next couple of weeks, the next couple of months, take it as a warning from God, and that feeling of uneasiness comes your way, and take that step of obedience and do whatever you know you need to do to get rid of that spirit of Antichrist and get back to the spirit of Christ in your life. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for this time we can meet, these few precious moments. And Lord, I pray that you would be with your people, Father. Help them, Father, as we understand the truth of the spirit of Antichrist and the spirit of Herod, Father. Help us not to fall trapped to that during this coming year. But Father, if we find ourselves heading that way, oh Lord, I pray that we would understand the convicting power of the Holy Spirit of God, that uneasiness in our soul. And then, Father, we petition you and just do whatever you would have us to do. So, Father, be a help to us. Watch over us this next couple of days, Father, with the storm coming. And, Father, we pray and ask that you'll keep power on and heat on for everybody. And, Lord, we'll be able to do what we need to do, particularly think of Elena. She has to travel all the way over to the airport tomorrow, Lord. Would you watch over her, Father? Give her great wisdom and knowing whether it's really, truly safe for her to do that or not. For it's in Jesus' name we pray.